Welcome to my very first episode as a 33-year-old. I mean, out of the pods. I'm Deep D.
And I'm Natalie. Happy birthday, Deep D.
Thank you. I feel like I should be able to say happy birthday to me for 2 weeks.
Yeah. No, it's your birthday month. Wait, no, your birthday month passed. The thing about your birthday is it's what, January 30th, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know how people have that birthday month? Like, you don't. Like, how do you celebrate your birthday like January 1st?
And you know what's funny is I heard that people get January birthdays are hard because people are fatigued from celebrating Christmas and like all the holidays. And they're like, great, a January birthday. I'm fatigued.
No,
well, no, but it was fun.
Do you like celebrating your birthday? I don't.
No, I hate it. I hate the attention. I like to run away. I wanted to do like a solo trip somewhere. And then my best friend from college was like, hey, do you want to just come to Clearwater, Florida? And I was like, absolutely. So it was like me, her two-year-old, and the pool. It was amazing. It's like a very chill birthday.
Yeah, it looked so nice. I saw you posting on Instagram about it. And then I also saw your birthday post. Did Laura, your friend, take that photo?
Yes, yes. I took my nice camera and I was like, hey, randomly, do you want to just do this photo shoot? And she's like, absolutely. So we went at sunset. Oh my gosh, it was so fun. Such a fun little day.
I know. It was such a cool photo. But I was like, who took this? Like, I was like, who? Does she have a boy there that I don't know? But then it was too good where I was like, there's no way this is from an Instagram boyfriend. So
yeah, an Instagram hubby is not able to do that. Let's face it.
Okay, so like, what's your dreams and goals as a newly minted 33-year-old?
Honestly, I'm getting this tattoo. Live with intention, baby.
You're getting a tattoo?
I'm going to get a tattoo right here on my arm.
Wait, I thought you were going to get...
For those listening...
I thought you were going to get my initials. On the right side.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about getting your initials with like a cute little flower, but... we should go...
Emoji.
No, we should go get an OOTP, like a little out of the pods tattoo. That'd be cool for like our 100th episode.
All right. Well, we'll have to see at number 100 because I already have one ugly ass tattoo. I don't know if I could add another one to my list.
But, yeah, true.
What, honestly, what an amazing like 33 years you had, especially the last 2 years. I feel like that was, I don't know. It's so crazy that we went through all of that and now we're kind of like getting older and it's getting past us. So,
yeah. Wait, do you, I don't know why, but every birthday, I feel like I need to do something like really crazy. Are you like that? Like, or do you just like want to like go under the radar and chill?
Honestly, every birthday, I don't feel anything. Truly. Like I just.
It's so morbid of you.
Like I just. I don't feel any different. Remember when I had that wig party for my 30th birthday?
Oh my God. I hate you for that shit. I hate it.
Guys, okay. Deep D was the worst at this. So I had like 30 people and we all wore like colorful wigs and like went out during the day. Like we bar hopped for my birthday. Deep D refused to wear her wig. She hated the theme so bad. I thought it was so fun though. We were like so drunk. Do you remember like walking around?
Yes.
The old town?
Oh, I totally remember. And people were mad at me, your friends.
Yeah.
not in a bad way. They're like, put your fucking wig on. I was like, I look like fucking the Smurfs threw up on my face.
Like, we all did. We were like those girls that were so obnoxious. Like we were like wearing all like colorful outfits, like really cute. Like everyone like killed it. Except for Deep D, because all she did was carry her wig. I was like, what's going on?
And I was like, hey, here it is.
But we were like those annoying ass girls. Like, you guys know.
Like, remember when you wanted us to be Guy Fieri? Like, all of us dressed like Guy Fieri for your birthday?
Oh, my gosh. So I wanted to, but his wigs were sold out. Like, I couldn't find enough wigs. Or like none of my friends.
Thank God.
There was like
thank God.
On Amazon or even like the Party City, I was trying to find like the Guy Fieri wigs, but it was like,
yeah,
there were like only 10 left. And I was like, okay, just not enough. No. Because I am Guy Fieri's number one fan.
Oh my gosh, I'm dead inside. That's so funny. Wait, weirdly, did you see the news about Demi Lovato?
No.
She attended a cardiovascular disease awareness event.
Yeah.
And she performed at it. And guess which song she chose to sing?
Which one?
Her song called Heart Attack. But it's a cardiovascular.
Is it getting awareness. Backlash? Is she getting backlash?
She's getting so much backlash. And can I tell you, her PR team is on it. This is so funny, but she's like, no, you guys don't know the context. I gave a super sweet intro about how I've had a heart attack myself, and that's why I'm doing this event, and how there's a connection with mind and heart, and that's why I sang this the song. But she's getting torn apart on social media right now.
I mean, she's saying
it's so bad. Everyone's like, bro, like 10 minutes before this, they played like a video of all the like the survivors. She chose to play Heart Attack.
Oh no. Dude, I know. I'm telling you, like, who approved that? Okay, that is really bad. Because here's the thing, we now live in an age of like things are posted like very short clips of things, or like things are taken out of context. Because I get it if she gave like did like a speech about it and like there was background, I feel like it wouldn't be that bad.
Yeah,
I mean, we've been victims of it too, so I feel your Demi Lovato is all I can say.
We feel for you, babe, but you know what, make your PR team work hard.
Yeah I was like, you pay them for a reason. Can we share the best news ever for our listeners?
Let's share it.
Guys, against our better judgment and free will, we have watched Love is Blind Sweden for you. We saw all of your DMs. We saw all of your comments just begging us to react to this season. And I'm not going to lie, it is my favorite season of Love is Blind. But can we just clarify why Deepy and I did not initially recap and react to
First
the
of
Sweden
all, you
version.
Say best season ever. Best season ever, really.
Ever.
Yeah. Okay, tell them why. I think we're on the same page about this as to why we waited so long to watch.
Okay, yes.
This season.
Look, if you guys have been listening since episode one, Deep Two and I are not okay from filming Love is Blind. We are. We still have trauma. We still have baggage. And I was like, the last thing I want to do is watch every version of Love is Blind. There are some versions, international versions, that haven't come out yet, but there's about to be like 9 international versions. There's about to be 9 international versions of Love is Blind. And you,
that's insane.
You have to fucking pay me $5 million to watch all 9
just
versions,
kidding.
Plus 2 of the US, plus 1 of the UK coming out too.
She's actually kidding, because you know she has to for the purposes of this podcast.
Actually, in all seriousness, I think the biggest reason why we probably won't recap all the international versions is because we know that the international versions, like some of them, aren't available to all countries. And so we didn't want to like kind of like segment our listener base if they don't have access to the season.
Yeah. And that's why I think we're choosing to just kind of do like a high level overview recap type style for this. But dude, I'm in the same boat. I tried to watch Love is Blind Sweden like 3 times. I started and I was like, I was like, I can't do it. And then the third time it really stuck, because you know we wanted to recap it. But can I tell you something fucking hilarious? When I first started watching, I watched it in the English audio version, not the Swedish version, and it was terrible. I was like, who are these
dubbed version?
Like, absolutely not. I couldn't do it. And then you know what, it's funny, because I binged, just because I love our pod besties out here, I binged it last night
for you guys.
For you. But can I tell you, when I was like running around like trying to cook and other things,
yeah,
I put it in the English version and I was kind of getting acclimated to them, but then watched it in like the Swedish version to just kind of understand their characters and like be like, oh, like tone of voice matters, you know. But anyways, 100%. It was a good season.
It was. It is one of, I would say right now it is my favorite version of Love is Blind. It was juicy. It had all the drama, but I loved like a lot of the characters. They felt more like real. And I also liked that most of them were in their 30s too. I feel like there was like a little bit of maturity there that you don't really get always with the US version.
And so what were your favorite? Who are your favorite people?
Okay. Like, again, I've already watched all the episodes. So this is me just like reacting to it. I still really like Amanda. I think she is an angel on this earth. I feel really sad for her because Sergio is, I think, Satan in disguise.
I was like, Sergio. I'm like, ooh.
And then I really love Chrisley.
Yeah. Okay. I'm in the same boat as you. It's like I was writing notes down as I was watching it. And like, it just like my mind changed throughout it. And then the reunion hit and I was like, Sergio, please. Like, what is going on? I thought we saw a lot of character development from him. And I was like, okay. And then just thing after thing happened. And I was like, oh, no, there's some red flags.
Okay. Can we talk internet about was right. Sergio? And I know that we're probably not pronouncing their names in like the Swedish way. So we'll try our best. But the thing about Sergio, when he lied to Amanda in the beginning about going on dates, like when they decide to be exclusive. Oh, yes. That triggered something in me. It kind of took me back to my pod days. The little love triangle I didn't know I was in, even though someone had asked me to be his girlfriend.
I remember that moment still, too.
Because dating other people behind my back.
And like getting mad. Shane, I remember that.
I was like, used to get mad at me for dating other people. Can
I tell you though, weirdly, Sergio reminds me of like a combination of Shake and Shane. The Shaz combined is Sergio. I was like, oh.
It's always those S's. Those
Shushas are always in the wrong.
I was shocked when Amanda said yes at the altar, especially with the rumors of the baby going around, the baby in Barcelona. That's not in Barcelona, as we found out later on. But I just like, I don't know. Like, he's such a liar and a manipulator that I'm like, why are you with him, Amanda?
Yeah.
Like, why?
I agree.
Like, why do you think?
She literally just like honestly swept everything under the rug, all the rumors that were happening. She's like, well, there's no concrete evidence. It's a classic, projection of a little bit of insecurity. I hate to put that on her, but I feel like she just wants love so badly that she's willing to overlook some of the red flags and the obstacles that is Sergio.
Some of like, the red flags, all of them. All of the red flags.
But the fact that she's having his baby now, it's like she's never getting it out of that relationship. He's going to get away with everything.
It's so hard because I don't want to make any like
assumptions.
I don't want to make any assumptions or really just like mean comments about Sergio because look, we don't know them and now they're married. She's pregnant with his child. It's like very all messy. But everything we saw on the show, including the way that he spoke about the baby that he's having with. The subtitle said third party. Like, I don't know exactly what it said, but with another woman pretty much that he called a third party. That baby, the way he said, it's not true that I have a baby in Barcelona. I have a baby in Sweden. I was like, what? Like, it's like,
he's
such,
trying
like,
to be dramatic.
I know, but it's like, I hate those people. It's like you have like a level of arrogance and I don't know, like it's just gross.
And even do you remember, oh my gosh, I totally forgot about this, but do you remember at the very beginning when he wouldn't tell people his name and he was trying to be like weird? And then also, oh my God, I forgot when he got mad in Mexico at Amanda, when he was like, I'm really upset with you because you didn't wear the bracelet that I gave you at the proposal and you didn't give me the ring. And I was like, you are such a superficial little what? Like,
yeah.
I'm so confused. Yeah, he's the worst. I think from the season, I absolutely, Sergio was screaming red flags.
Well, it's crazy because he's so quick to call out her red flags, what he perceives as red flags from her. But she's just not. Like, it just might be the fact that, like, for example, for me, when I was filming, I've talked about this on the podcast before, but, like, I protected Shane so, so much. Like, every scene that we filmed together, I was like, I'm going to pretend we are good. I know we're not that good, you know, behind the scenes or behind the camera, but I'm going to act like everything's great because what if we get married and then have kids and our kids watch the show back? Like, I'm not going to.
Yes, that's exactly. Yes, that's exactly what my mindset was with Shake too, because obviously the whole attraction thing was a problem. And I was like, you know what? I just know that one day I'm going to look back and be like, regret it if I like was so negative towards somebody. Like, that's always going to be like how I am as a person. And so I totally understand what you're saying. But you know what's funny? At the reunion, I like to look at the couples and see like the other person's facial expressions when like their partner's talking. And I could tell there's like definitely some shit going on behind the scenes. Like, I'm sure he's not just like, you know, like he didn't just get away with it.
I feel like,
in my opinion, he really,
I feel like you're out of the honeymoon phase type of thing where you let like the guy get away with that much. And I feel like there's definitely, look, again, we don't know them, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's issues behind the scenes that are definitely going on. And I hope that she's not. And I think maybe just for the cameras, she's making it seem like they're good, they're great, they're happy. But I hope that she is trying to keep him accountable for, you know, his lies and everything, because I'm sure that if she was like me, she was really shocked to watch the show and see things that happened behind her back or the way he reacted in certain situations. And I know that probably triggered her, got her angry, and she probably ripped shit. I hope. If she's anything like me.
It's kind of like, yeah, and it's always usually, I hate to say it, but it's mostly the couples that are like too lovey-dovey or too like, oh my gosh, everything is perfect. Those are the couples that probably struggle the most behind the scenes. And like, you can tell, like, one thing I did appreciate about the reunion, first of all, let me take a step back. One thing I appreciated about the entire season was how many love stories there were and how many people were like actually compromised and got married. And I was like, I was watching the last episode with the weddings and I was like, oh my gosh, like I wish so badly that it worked out for me on this show. Like, I truly wish that I could have gotten married because like, what a beautiful way. Ugh, I'm so happy
like
for
if
them
you,
though. I was
if like, you oh found my gosh. Someone like not to shake.
Not to shake, Avi, but like if I found that love story, kind of like Chrisley and Rasmus were my two, I literally was like, wait a minute, how did they actually make this work? I don't know if you remember, but Rasmus from the very beginning, I was like, this dude is 100% a red flag. He's love bombing everyone. And then I was like, oh, wow. Okay, you did the right thing finally. But I was so happy for them. I was like, oh.
I do too. I'm really glad that they worked out. I'm a big fan of Chrisley. She's one of my favorite people from the season. I feel like she's a girl's girl. Even the way that she like asked the questions that she did, like try to keep Sergio accountable was, I was like, you know what? Good for you. You're just like really trying to like
be there for her friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. And the best part, oh, this is the cutest thing, but in the lounge, she asked, I don't even remember who she asked, but they were both after Rasmus. And when one of the girls in the pods, I don't even remember who it was. She was like, oh yeah, it's Rasmus. And she started tearing up crying. And she was like, oh, that sucks. Like, I can't believe it's Rasmus. I don't know. It just spoke to her pure energy. I really, really enjoyed her. But really quickly, can we talk about the blatant similarities in storyline between Amelia and Lucas and me and Shake? It was same, same, but different. Same, same.
Yes, it's like the same, same, but different.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
oh,
100%.
Lucas. Truly, though, in my opinion, and I've...
Can I ask you? I watched it and I was like, this is like Deep T storyline. So like, how did it make you feel watching it? because I feel like it's different when we watch the show and it's us, right? It's us because mm-hmm. we have our own memories watching the show. There's more context to the things watching it. And I feel like I can't be fully objective to what I see on screen. And it's way more emotionally charged when we're watching ourselves go through hard times on the show or like seeing our storylines. But how did it feel being like a third party watching their storyline, which is very similar to yours?
I'm not going to lie to you. It kind of broke my heart for Amelia. I was like, this sucks so bad that the physical attraction isn't there. And I have been I have always said this in interviews, whatever, after the show aired. It's not the fact that Shake wasn't attracted to me that was the problem. It's the way he handled it. Yes. And that's why, in my opinion, I feel like Lucas, like, he's a little bit of a people pleaser in the sense that, like, he didn't want to hurt Amelia. But I think he was, like, honest from the beginning and was like, this is my issue, but I, like, truly love you. I think that he went about it, like, okay, like, as okay as it could have been. Like, it's a really shitty situation to be in, but I wholeheartedly think that having being physically attracted to your partner is extremely important. And if it's not there and it can't be built, then, like, you have to go your separate ways. The one thing that I will say, though, is I think it, like, from Amelia's perspective, because I, like, related to her so much, was that it does really, like, hit your ego. It, like, makes you feel really insecure, and you have to really pull yourself out of that mentality and be like, it's okay that someone doesn't find me physically attractive. Like, there's so many other people out there. You have to constantly remind yourself of that. But I don't fault Lucas. I really don't. The only thing
I don't either.
I was going to say the only thing that I found that was kind of annoying is that he, like, decided to date her after their wedding day.
Yeah, that's what I had in my notes, that they continued their relationship for 2 weeks after the wedding and then they broke up. And he said that it was still that lack of physical chemistry that was, like, the problem. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Like, just let it go then.
Yeah, because I feel like on the one hand, it's like, kudos to you for trying so hard. But on the other hand, it's like, if it hasn't worked, why are you stringing her along? You know, just let her go.
Well, I felt so bad when she started crying about, like, continuing that relationship to the end of the show.
She was definitely hurt.
Yeah. Okay. Here's my thing about, like, physical attraction. I actually don't think it's that important. I think it's actually important to an extent when you first meet someone. But I think when, in, like, Amelia and Lucas's case, but also you and Shake, if you either have to be super fucking shallow if it is such a big factor and you like someone's personality but can't get over their physical attractiveness, like, can't like get through. I think that is actually, like, huge superficiality, because I believe that attraction grows when you really fall in love with someone. So I think when people say, like, I love you but just am not physically attracted to you, I'm like, that's BS. Like, you just love them as a friend then. Like, there's,
yeah,
like, you don't love I think them it's, as a partner.
But truly, but, though, yeah, no, continue.
Well,
your thought.
I was going to say, I think in this case, though, it's like, if you really, really get to know someone and you're still not physically attracted to them, I feel like that's just, like, incompatibility at the end. Because,
yeah,
if
I agree.
We're under the impression that attraction grows as you get to know someone and fall in love with them, then, like, and you can't get there, then you, that's just, you're just not in love with them.
Okay, a couple thoughts to that, though. I feel like there's just, it's so hard with physical attraction, though, because, first of all, Love is Blind is so unique in that, like, if attraction grows over time and, like, someone's not your physical type and you spend time with them and it naturally grows, great. But this was so different because you're already close to them without seeing them, and then you introduce the physicality of it. So I think, like, the mindset is just so, like, it just fucks with you. It's just, like, such a different mentality to be in. But I do have to say, like, you're right about the compatibility thing. Like, they're just not compatible. But I wholeheartedly think that physical attraction does make a difference. I think it dies over time, and then your love is what continues on. But, like, anyways, I really felt for Amelia. And like, it was so wild, the similarities when Lucas was like, oh my God, I could see her as like an amazing wife, an amazing mother. I'm like, oh my God, it's triggering. This is so shake.
No, 100%. I watched that and I was like, wow, you know, all he needs to say is the aunt comment now.
I know.
Is he going to say that Amelia reminds him of his aunt, or like, what's going on?
I literally died. But okay. Final thoughts on Lucas, though. I really, really think that it's different. It's same, but different than Shake, because truly, I felt like Lucas was more willing and like really like tried. And I don't know. I just really, I don't hate Lucas. I understand him. And that's weird coming from me, but I understand.
Look, I do understand it too. It's always hard when it's happening on TV. Like, I feel like the way Lucas thinks is how some people really do think. And it's like private in their thoughts. But instead, he has to continue to talk about it in the cameras to like, to have people understand why, you know, he didn't move forward.
I just remembered what I was going to say about the superficiality. But do you remember when, what's his name? Rasmus. Yes. Okay. Do you remember when Rasmus, at the very beginning, he was so honest and he was like, listen, I love going on these dates, but I'm superficial. He literally straight up said, I'm superficial. And I was like, I kind of liked it, because he's like, be honest about who you are as a person. If you are very superficial, then just say it.
Thanks,
you know what
it.
I mean? I kind of, weirdly, I was appreciative of that. Oh, yeah, I forgot he did. I forgot about that. Yeah, he did. He was like, well, I gotta have to see what they look like, if they have bad teeth. Remember the teeth comment from Shane?
I mean, they didn't show it on the show. I think for our season, they were still very, like, I feel like that superficiality was more part of like Shake's storyline, you know, in the beginning of the pods. But Shane was very curious about what all the women looked like. Like, I heard, well, through Shayna at the time, Shayna was telling Shane like who was like really pretty in the pods. Mm-hmm. And I think it was like she gave a description of herself, and like people assumed she was really pretty, along with Kara was a big one. And like other women. And then I guess like Shane had asked about me, and she's like, she's cute. Like, very,
yeah,
like,
I remember
trying to like keep it as if I'm like not pretty. And I remember Shane asked me like how I would rate myself, like look wise. And I was like, oh, 5 out of 10. And he was so bothered by it. Like, I could tell. Like, he was like, oh my God, like, should I like move forward? Cause remember Shane like relayed to me, I remember at the very end, that he was like very fit. Like, he was like, I used to be a personal trainer. He told me his height. He was like, I remember that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is like,
me,
I knew Shane was also superficial. And I was like, okay.
You know what's, it's just dumb to me though. Like, yeah, fine, admit that you're superficial, but like, don't go on a show called Love is Blind when you're literally about to date somebody. It's about personality and like getting over the superficiality, but like, I guess whatever, put yourself to the fucking experiment.
Well, I mean, at the end he did. I mean, when I told him, I was like 5 out of 10, he's like, oh shit, well, here we go. He goes, I'm proposing tomorrow. So we'll just have to see.
No, but dude, really though, I really liked this season. It was cute. I was like, oh, I like that there was so much love. But can I say one thing?
Yeah.
You know how like Love is Blind, like in the US, we kind of like know some of the behind the scenes drama and like some shits that, you know, that went down.
You know how
that, like
the
heard
the
about?
Bread is, no, what's the word? We know how the butter is made.
Oh, I don't know. That's a like, white person thing to say.
We know how it's either bread
or butter's churned.
Yeah, like we know how what goes on behind the scenes. Like we know how the show is produced and edited.
Exactly.
But this felt very like,
but
I don't know.
We're like so in the dark, and I'm like, oh, like I really want to know like what truly happened behind the scenes. Like, what was the drama? Because I know Sergio ain't no angel.
No, I was like, should I message Chris Lake?
I know.
But do I have to do it in Swedish?
I really was like, should we have? What's funny is one of our listeners commented on our post and was like, bring this couple on to Love is Blind as your guest because they know English and they'll drop some tea. And I was like, oh. Should we?
Wait, should we? Honestly?
Should we?
We'll keep you guys updated.
Maybe. We'll see. Yeah.
But I would love that. I definitely will watch the next season of Love is Blind Sweden. I really, really enjoyed this season a lot. And I'm so glad that we were kind of pushed by our listeners to react to it because, like I said, it was one of my favorite seasons of Love is Blind.
It was a really good season.
And I think the reunion was so wild and juicy that I was like, oh, I'm here for this.
Oh my God. One last thing about the reunion. I absolutely loved the way they showed like unseen footage.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I can't even remember who it was. Katya was the one who started dating somebody else from the pods. And I was like, oh my God, like, I love these like little hidden gems of like stuff that they didn't air during the like the normal episodes. And I was like, oh, I like this. But anyways, overall, I would give it an 8 out of 10.
Okay. Based on all the Love is Blind seasons that I've seen. So I've seen 2 seasons of Love is Blind Brazil, the first season of Love is Blind Japan, and obviously all the U.S. seasons, I would give this a 9 out of 10.
What? 100%. Wow. Because we love love around here. We love love.
We love the drama. We love it in a different language, too.
Yes.
Well, guys, we did it for you. Just for you. We reacted to Love is Blind Sweden. And we might do the next one. It was that good. So, and we might bring some interviews on. Who knows? We'll try to make it work.
Well, should I intro our next segment for us? All right, guys, we are bringing back our little advice corner column, whatever you want to call it. But I feel like there's so many listeners who submitted like stories that were just so good. And I feel like, you know what? Let's bring the angel devil, Natalie and I.
Wait, who's the angel in this scenario?
Clearly not you.
I'm wearing red too.
Just kidding.
Feeling a little devilish today.
When are you not? No, I'm just kidding. We got a lot of listener stories. So we're going to start with a few of them that like really stood out to us. Okay, our first listener question. This one is, I'm going to say, dealing with your husband's douchebag friends is what I topiced it. Okay. This person says, my husband is so loyal, but it can actually be to a fault. We've been together for a long time, and for the most part, I've been cool with his friends and even considered them my friends. Recently, one of his friends became a woman hater, Andrew Tate type. And during a conversation while at lunch with the friend group, he straight up told me women over 30 are useless. Excuse me, I'm 33.
I guess we're useless.
Since then, I have refused to be around him, and my husband won't really distance himself from him either. My husband is an amazing guy. He never says anything mean about anyone, but he's always there for anyone he loves. But some of his friends can seriously be questionable and offensive. I guess my question is, how do you deal with your man's douchebag
friends? You don't!
Oh, classic. Kick him to the curb! No.
Just kidding.
Honestly, can I just say, you are the company you keep. And you know what? We are out with people pleasing. Like, your husband sounds like me 5 years ago trying to please everyone. No. Like, if he's literally like an Andrew Tate type, like, get him out of here. Like, show your husband the light.
Yeah. I feel like if he's saying like comments like women over 30 are useless, like, no, I'm sorry. I don't think I would let my husband... I don't know if, I mean, obviously I couldn't tell my husband, hypothetically speaking, like, hey, you can't hang out with him anymore. Like, obviously it's up to my husband if he wants to continue hanging out with this person. But I'd be like, you think we're ever going to fucking lunch with this guy again? Hell no. Like, absolutely not.
Exactly. Exactly. I think that's what I would do too. I'd be like, you know what? Listen, I can't control you and tell you who to hang out with and who to not hang out with, but I can absolutely control what I do. And for me, the boundary is I am not going to hang out with this person because he does not make me feel good in life. And life is too short to be around people that you don't like. So goodbye. But you have fun, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
Like, go live your life.
You pick him or me.
Actually, exactly. That would be like, that's what I hope I would say, but I know in reality I'd be like, block, like, absolutely not. I was like, bitch. You're going out with who?
Yeah. Andrew Tate, who? No, I agree. Oh, man, it is a hard one. But you know what? I think you got to let your husband do his thing and eventually they'll drift apart.
But you make him concerns. I'm not going to those lunches. You don't give him any peace about it.
Exactly.
If you want to complain every 5 minutes about this Andrew Tate type person, then you do it. You make your husband's life hard.
Right. Yes, exactly. Look at what Andrew Tate said today.
But make your opinion known. Okay, I will say though, it depends on how much history he has with this friend. Because I'm going to be like very honest here. I have this friend who did kind of like a shady thing like several years ago now when we were in our early 20s. It's my nothing like illegal trait? Or anything crazy.
Oh,
like,
I was going to say like, my...
It's not straight up murder or anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, my toxic trait was trying to ask you, what was it? What was this thing that he did?
Yes. She just got involved in another person's relationship, if you get what I'm saying.
Okay.
Look, we were pissed at her. Like, my friend group, we were like, what the fuck? Like, you better get yourself out of this mess. And she didn't do it as fast as we thought she would. you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And what was really hard, though, is like she was my friend for a really, 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 really long time, like since childhood. And so it wasn't as easy of just like dropping her. And
cutting
it was
it
really
off.
Tough then, too, because I had been cheated on before. So I knew what it felt like on the other end at that point. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, you are like. You are causing hurt that I've personally gone through. And like you're doing it to someone else, even though like
it's
the guy is also at fault. But you know what I'm saying? And so.
Yeah, it's just triggering.
And I remember talking to like my partner at the time. And he's like, you should just like cut her out. But I remember being like, there's so much history there. Like, how do I just cut her out? Like, she's still my friend. I want the best for her. And I want to lead her to make the right decision because I don't think she's like a bad person.
Yeah, I think it definitely depends on the level of like wrongness or the level of like, you know, like what is it exactly that makes you not align with them anymore, you know? And in this situation, I really think like one, either tell him straight up to his face, hey, what you're saying is offending me and see how he reacts and see like what the trajectory is. And also, secondly, I feel like when I was in my 20s, I think I allowed a lot more bullshit to pass through my life. And I'd be like, oh, fine, I'm okay with this. But as I'm getting older, I'm like, no, if like you are the friends you keep is so important and the company you keep is like vital to you, who you are as a person and your mindset. So if it doesn't align anymore, regardless of how long you've been friends, I think it's just time to love them from afar. Truly.
That is my favorite line from Deep Sea. I'm just going to love them from afar.
Yeah. No shade, no hate, just all love from afar.
And I was like, I'm not. You shouldn't either. I was like, I'm just gonna go afar. No love. But anyways, well, that's our opinion or advice. Good luck.
Yeah. Well, good luck and tell us what you end up doing. I hope you say something to Andrew Tate's face.
Yeah, agree. Or I hope you just never see him again.
Yeah. Ooh. I'm excited for the next one.
Yes. Okay. So Deep Dee titled this next one, Be in Love with Two Men at Once. Ooh, I can't wait to read this. So the email starts with, Hi girls, big fan. I would love your advice. I've been in a relationship for over a year now. I love my boyfriend and we've been talking about our future together, including moving in together in a couple of months. Recently, an old flame reached out to me. I never had a relationship with him, but we did have a friends with benefits situation before I got into my current relationship. He recently expressed his feelings for me. And since the proclamation, wow, I love that, a proclamation, I can't stop thinking about it and I feel confused. I didn't realize I still had feelings for him until now, but I'm in this relationship. Oh, I've never been in a situation where I have had strong feelings for two men at the same time. I have no idea what to do.
Ooh,
I don't know what you should do either.
First of all, have you ever? Okay. There's so many thoughts. First of all, in my opinion, are with somebody, yes.
Deep D, have you ever been in this type of situation?
Yes.
You have?
I have slightly.
Okay, and what did you do?
I chose the longevity of my relationship over the crush, my work crush.
And do you regret it? Oh, I know the story. I actually knew that you did this. But do you regret it? Do you regret it now knowing that that relationship has not worked out?
No, because I didn't want to be, I didn't want to do anything that's outside of my ethical boundaries. Wow. Mm. I didn't, where the fuck did that come from out of my head? Boundaries. No, but truly, I just would never be like known as a cheater, like even emotionally cheating. I was like, I have to cut this off. But in my opinion, though, Natalie, don't you think that if somebody reaches out to you and they're like, I have feelings for you and you feel like spark and you can't stop thinking about it, that just means that the current situation you're in isn't as strong as you thought it would be. Because if you were so in love with this person, then anybody reaching out to you, you'd be like, nah, I'm good. You know, it's like, I think because she like has these unresolved feelings for this last love or situationship, that's why she's questioning her current relationship. I think she shouldn't be with either of them, if I'm being honest.
I was going to say, because I've had exes reach out and like, I right now in a situation where I was like, I don't like, like there's nothing there. Like, I'm like, go away, you know? So I think to our, you know, listener who submitted this story, I think you need to take a good look at why you're feeling the way you're feeling. If it's just like a very temporary thing, because I won't lie, like I think it's very natural for even people in relationships to feel attraction to other people or feel like having a work crush. But it's like how you deal with that. Do you put it okay, so New York boy is, I'm at his apartment and he just looked at me.
He's like, I would love to know like, what you want to say here.
No, but I think it's like natural to like to feel like feelings of attraction for other people. It's like not explore those, but like it's like not exploring that. You just like
say,
it's a feeling that passes and that like that's it. Like you don't do anything about it. Like that is the ethical thing to do. I think you need to see like why you feel this way. Like, are you really happy in your current situation? And that's why you have feelings, like, or is this just like a very temporary like
lustful feeling? Okay, here's what I'll say. I think that, like Nadia said, take a really good look at your own feelings and what you want out of a relationship. I would highly suggest writing it down. Write down your feelings of like what you're looking for. What are the positives for both people? And also really think about, why is it that your situationship didn't work from the beginning? Is it really just timing? Or like, do you just feel like your ego was hurt that you weren't with him? And that's why you're trying to like prove something to yourself by saying, oh my gosh, look, he actually does want to be with me. And like, think about the scenario too of like, people always want what they can't have. When I get into a relationship, men come out of the woodworks trying to be with me. And it's like, bitch, you just want what you can't have.
No, I've been like that.
And it's like
on the other end. Yeah, 100%. That's a real thing. Want some-
It's so real.
People seem more desirable when they're in
there with someone else.
Yeah, when they're with someone else and they look really happy on social media. So you need to think about like, is that why? And like, why were you guys only friends with benefits in the beginning? Like, why didn't never why didn't it ever progress to like a, you know, a relationship? So I don't know. There's so many different factors. We can't tell you, but I will say that if you love your boyfriend and you really see a future with him, you know, you talked about moving in with him a couple of months, like the old flame is not worth giving all that up.
Can I tell you, I also think it's like a universal test. The universe is giving you a test right now. Are you going to proceed with what you're doing, or are you going to like, you know, jump ship? I don't know. I feel like it's like a monumental turn. And I think about this often because this, I feel like situations have happened to me like this. And I'm like, oh, the universe is like, did you learn your lesson? Are you going to go back to the toxic behavior, or are you going to continue in a healthy way? And I'm telling you, really contemplate this before you make your decision.
Well, keep us updated. I'm very curious to see like what you decide to do. I mean, oof, this is a tough one though. Can't say I've been in the shoes though, but good luck.
Okay, first of all, can I just say I absolutely love reading like stories from our listeners. So if anyone out there is listening who wants some advice from us, whether that be good or bad. reach out to us at our Instagram page at Out of the Pods.
And make sure you leave a review and subscribe. See you next Wednesday.
Bye.